Imagine looking at your joint bank account, right? And you see this massive, healthy balance. You think you have like all the money in the world.
Right, you feel totally secure.
Exactly. You feel completely secure. But then, entirely out of nowhere, you're at the grocery store and your card gets declined.
Oh no.
Yeah, you're overdrawn. And you're thinking, how, well, because there are, five different family members quietly drawing from that exact same account.
And nobody's talking to each other.
Right. None of you are tracking who is spending what or when those bills are hitting. You had this total illusion of safety, but the reality was absolute chaos.
It's a terrifying feeling, honestly, and it actually perfectly captures what happens when a system looks, flexible on the surface, but lacks any real structural visibility underneath.
It totally does.
Sorry.
And today, we are looking at how that exact same illusion of safety is quietly breaking the schedules and the staff, honestly, in the incredibly high-stakes world of healthcare. So welcome to today's deep dive.
Glad to be here.
If you are listening to this right now, you are probably someone who appreciates how complex systems actually function beneath the surface. And we've tailored this exploration specifically for you. We are pulling apart a really fascinating operational deep dive titled Optimizing Multi-Unit Hospice ROTAs and Shared Staff Pools.
Which I know that sounds like dense administrative terminology right out of the gate. I mean, ROTA management isn't exactly a phrase that gets the adrenaline pumping.
No, it really doesn't. It sounds like the driest topic on earth. But okay, let's unpack this, because our mission today is to uncover how a seemingly simple logistical task, literally just putting names on a calendar to schedule staff,
Yeah.
is actually a massive high-stakes puzzle.
It really is.
We are talking about complex human behavior, the absolute necessity of safe healthcare coverage, and the surprisingly fragile nature of workplace fairness.
Yeah, and especially in environments like hospices, because operational efficiency there is never just about saving money or, cutting administrative corners. It is fundamentally about ensuring continuity, stability, and trust.
Right, the stakes are so much higher.
Exactly. When you are dealing with end-of-life care, a dropped ball on a schedule isn't just a minor inconvenience. It directly impacts patient care, and it severely depletes the emotional reserves of the staff providing that care.
Wow, yeah. So to understand how scheduling gets so incredibly complicated in these environments, we have to look at the core strategy that many hospices rely on, which is the shared staff pool.
Right.
But before we can see why the system breaks down, we need to clearly define what it actually is,
Well, think of a shared staff pool as moving away from isolated silos.
Okay.
So instead of having one dedicated team that only works in the inpatient unit, and then a totally separate team that only does community care support,
Yeah.
and another strictly for day services, you create one wider liquid
I
workforce.
see. So they all just blend together.
Right. All of these different units draw from the exact same overarching group of qualified staff.
Operationally, I mean, the intent there makes total sense. It allows managers to respond dynamically to sudden changes, right?
Absolutely.
Like if patient demand suddenly spikes in the inpatient unit on a Tuesday, or if a severe flu bug takes out three nurses in community care overnight, managers don't have to treat each unit like a sealed fortress. They can just, shift resources to where the fire is burning hottest.
Exactly. The primary benefit is flexibility. A shared pool allows a healthcare facility to absorb operational shocks without instantly compromising care.
But, and here is the paradox we encounter, the massive risk of all that flexibility is a complete and total loss of clarity. It
Yes.
goes right back to that joint bank account analogy we started with. The total numbers look amazing on paper. You have, say, 50 staff members.
Which feels like plenty.
Right. But the moment you start letting five different unit managers pull from that same pool without a perfectly synchronized tracking system, that flexibility instantly turns into chaos.
What's fascinating here is how this shared pool fundamentally mutates the core equation of scheduling.
How do you mean?
Well, in a traditional single-unit ROTA, the question is quite simple. It's just who is working this shift?
Yeah, just match a name to a day.
Exactly. But when you introduce a shared pool, that question explodes into a multi-layered real-time logic puzzle.
Oh, yeah.
It becomes, where should this person be scheduled? What coverage is still needed elsewhere? And what happens to the whole ecosystem if another unit suddenly becomes short-staffed?
And you cannot answer one of those questions without instantly altering the answers to all the others,
Yeah.
which I guess brings us to the domino effect.
Right.
Because having established just how complex a shared pool is, it is wild to look at how people traditionally try to manage this complexity and why those traditional tools inevitably collapse under the pressure.
Single-unit planning is already a heavy cognitive load. You have to balance time off, sick leave, legal working hours, union rules.
It's a lot.
It's a ton. But multi-unit planning adds this incredibly dangerous, exponential layer of difficulty because coverage has to be reviewed across several services simultaneously.
Let's talk about the combinatorics of this for a second, because the sheer volume of variables is staggering. You aren't just matching a name to a day.
No, not at all.
You are matching a name to a legally mandated rest period, to a specific clinical skill set, to a specific unit's real-time patient acuity.
That's huge.
And when managers tried to do this manually, a staff member might appear perfectly free and available right up until another unit claims them.
Mm.
Gaps only become obvious incredibly late in the process.
Because the human brain can only process so many interacting variables at once, managers inevitably fall back on reviewing coverage service by service, rather than looking at the whole picture simultaneously.
Oh, so they just do it piece by piece.
Right. They look at the inpatient unit, get it sorted, and then move on to community care, completely missing that they just double-booked their most critical specialists.
So they end up playing an endless game of whack-a-mole. They are just moving people around, reacting to emergencies, rather than actually planning a stable schedule.
Exactly.
And the tool most people use to facilitate this chaos is, of course, the classic spreadsheet.
Yeah, the good old spreadsheet, which can handle simple linear ROTAs. But they fail entirely when one change cascades and affects several areas at once. The information inevitably gets split across different files, different tabs, or entirely separate trackers for absence and qualifications.
I have to push back here, though.
Okay, go for it.
We have all seen massive global supply chains run on heavily macro-scripted Excel sheets. Wall Street runs on spreadsheets.
Sure they do.
Is the spreadsheet really the villain here, or is it just poor data hygiene from the managers? Isn't it just a matter of building a smarter, more rigorous spreadsheet?
That is a very fair challenge, but it misses the unique, unpredictable nature of staffing a real-time healthcare facility.
Okay, how so?
The problem isn't that spreadsheets are weak mathematical tools. The problem is the fundamental architecture of a flat grid trying to capture a four-dimensional, highly regulated human environment.
Four-dimensional, I like that.
Right. A spreadsheet, no matter how heavily scripted, cannot dynamically enforce interacting, real-time constraints across multiple decentralized users.
Break that down for me. What do you actually mean by interacting real-time constraints?
Okay, let's say you move Nurse A from the inpatient unit to cover a sudden absence in community care. In a spreadsheet, you just copy and paste their name, right?
Yeah, treat it as GL-C, GLV.
Exactly. The spreadsheet accepts that test. It doesn't inherently know that Nurse A just worked a 12-hour night shift and legally requires an 11-hour rest period before this new shift.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't know that by moving Nurse A, the inpatient unit no longer has a staff member certified to administer a specific IV medication.
Ah, so you create a blind spot.
Yes. You might technically have enough bodies on the floor, but the required role mix is broken. A spreadsheet requires manual, constant cross-checking across different tabs to verify all of those variables. By the time a manual ROTA looks complete, it is often a highly unstable house of cards.
So the spreadsheet is just digital paper. It records the decision, but it doesn't understand the rules governing the decision. It's totally passive.
That's a great way to put it.
So if manual grids fail, because they are essentially starting with the wrong variables, just throwing names onto a matrix and hoping the math works out what is the right variable to start with. Because there is a massive conceptual solution proposed in our sources to fix this mess.
There is, and it advocates for a total paradigm shift, moving to what is called coverage-based planning.
Coverage-based planning. So if I'm understanding this correctly, does that mean the manager is basically ignoring the staff names entirely at first? They are just looking at the shape of the shift itself?
Precisely. It is a complete inversion of the usual process. The core argument is that when multiple units rely on the exact same pool of staff, ROTA planning only works when the coverage requirement is defined first, before a single name is placed on the board.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because that is such a radical shift in mindset. It's exactly like building a house.
Okay, how do you mean?
Well, you don't just gather a bunch of carpenters, plumbers, and electricians in an empty dirt lot, look at them, and hope they organically figure out the shape of the building based on who happened to show up that day.
No, that would result in a very strange, very dangerous house.
Right. You draw the blueprint first. You establish exactly what structure is needed, like where the load-bearing walls go, how many bathrooms are required, where the plumbing needs to run.
You define the parameter.
You define the gaps that need filling.
Mm-hmm.
And then only after the blueprint is locked and approved do you assign the specific workers to fill those specific structural requirements.
That is a perfect analogy. You are building the architecture of the shift. Instead of asking, where can I put Sarah and John this week?
Mm.
The manager starts by asking, what does safe staffing actually look like in the inpatient unit next Tuesday?
Right.
They might say, we need 2 registered nurses, 1 healthcare assistant, and 1 palliative specialist. They define the required level of cover across the entire rota period first.
And the reason this framework is so crucial in a multi-unit hospice setting is that it prevents those catastrophic late-stage surprises.
Absolutely.
It actively protects the priorities and the safe staffing baselines of each individual unit before the shared pool gets stretched too thin. If community care needs stronger cover on a specific afternoon, that requirement is highly visible on the blueprint from day one.
Exactly. It is not something the manager discovers in a blind panic at 4:00 p.m. on a Friday when the schedule is supposedly finished, only to realize they accidentally cannibalized one unit to save another.
Man, what a nightmare that would be. It changes the entire operational dynamic from reactive survival to proactive design.
It really does.
So now that we understand this blueprint strategy, this coverage-based planning, we have to talk about how a facility actually executes it. Because we already established that a passive spreadsheet cannot handle this level of multidimensional chess.
No, it can't.
Which brings us to the technological intervention.
Right. To execute this, you need a system that understands relational logic. The analysis we are looking at highlights a specific platform called Evalue8HR, which is rota management software designed for hospices.
Okay.
But what's really important here isn't just the brand name, it's the architectural shift it represents.
Right. It represents the shift from a flat matrix to a relational database. It takes those fragmented files, the multiple tabs, the separate absence trackers, and turns them into a living ecosystem.
Yes.
If you change one element, the system instantly cross-references the change against the blueprint.
It forces the system to plan by unit before assigning staff. You quite literally cannot build the schedule without first defining the required level of cover. The software builds the framework, and then managers populate it.
And because it's a living ecosystem, it allows managers to see gaps and weak points incredibly early.
Much earlier than before.
Instead of realizing one unit is exposed at the last second, the system flags the vulnerability across the whole timeline. It lets you utilize that shared staff pool with actual deliberate control.
You're not just guessing anymore.
Right. You can move staff across units to maximize flexibility, but you maintain a clear, real-time view of where your flexibility is running out.
And perhaps the most critical mechanism for mitigating risk here is that it intrinsically links contracted hours, leave, and daily availability.
Because it's all in one place.
Exactly. Because absence sits in the exact same system as scheduling, you physically cannot accidentally create a problem in one unit by utilizing a worker in another.
Oh, that's huge.
If you try to schedule a nurse who has already hit their legal maximum hours or who doesn't have the right certification for that specific gap in the blueprint, the system flags it. It will not let you ignore the domino effect.
Imagine the baseline stress relief for a hospice administrator.
Yeah.
Seriously, think about the anxiety of approving a simple vacation day for a senior nurse and sitting there wondering if you just accidentally left a critical day of service completely unstaffed because you forgot to check tab number 4 on a separate Excel file.
The mental load of managing that hidden uncertainty is staggering. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the ultimate benefit of moving to a relational coverage-based system isn't simply that it saves administrative time.
Yeah.
No, it's that the wider staffing picture becomes something managers can actually trust.
Trust. That's a massive word in this context.
It is the foundation of the entire operation. When you eliminate manual cross-checking, you remove the constant lingering dread that there is a fatal flaw hidden somewhere deep in the schedule.
Right.
You can trust that your facility is safely staffed, which frees up your mental bandwidth to actually focus on the quality of care.
And that concept of trust perfectly bridges us to the final and, frankly, the most impactful part of our deep dive today.
Yeah, I agree.
We have spent a lot of time analyzing the mechanics,
yeah,
the relational databases, the combinatorics, the blueprints, but we have to pivot to the deeply human stakes of scheduling. Because when you really dig into the realities of these wards, you uncover a profoundly emotional core to all of this logistics.
You absolutely do. The people side of shared pool rotas is where the theoretical meets the deeply personal. Scheduling is rarely just an operational puzzle. It is an emotional contract with your workforce.
Right, because earlier we talked about the intent of the shared pool being flexibility. And we praise flexibility in modern management.
Oh, constantly.
But flexibility isn't some abstract mathematical concept. Flexibility is a human being. Yeah. It is a specific nurse or a specific care worker who is being asked to adapt their life, their routine, and their mental preparation for a shift.
And this introduces what we call the burden of flexibility.
The burden of flexibility.
Yeah, if a system lacks visibility, managers will inevitably take the path of least resistance to fill a gap, which means the exact same staff members, usually the most accommodating, highly skilled ones, are constantly the ones being bounced between units.
Oh, man. Think about a specialist palliative care nurse working the night shift.
Yeah.
If they are constantly the one being asked to float to an unfamiliar unit because they are cross-trained, they bear the entire burden of the facility's flexibility.
Exactly.
Their routine is shattered. The danger here is so insidious. A flat, reactive schedule might technically solve the coverage issue for the night, but quietly breed a massive fairness issue over the month.
The shift is mathematically covered, the patient is seen, but that specific staff member is burning out. Or, equally damaging, the flexibility is always extracted from the same specific department.
Like robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Right. Maybe the high-profile inpatient unit is always perfectly staffed, but the community care team is constantly being cannibalized to make that happen. Without a holistic view, that systemic imbalance stays hidden in the daily panic.
And we have to remember the specific environment we're talking about. This is a hospice. End-of-life care is incredibly emotionally demanding. The literature emphasizes that continuity, stability, and trust across a care team carry immense real-world weight here.
The highest weight imaginable.
Patients and their grieving families rely on familiar faces. They build deeply intimate bonds with their caregivers.
And the staff rely on the emotional support of their regular team members to process the grief they encounter daily. If you constantly disrupt that continuity for the sake of plugging holes in a rigid spreadsheet, you aren't just annoying your employees.
Right.
You are actively degrading the quality of patient care, and you are destroying your staff's psychological well-being.
So what does this all mean? We started by talking about databases and software features. Can a piece of scheduling architecture actually act as a tool for workplace empathy?
When you look at the evidence, it becomes clear that it absolutely can, because visibility equals fairness.
Visibility equals fairness. I really like that framing.
When a manager has a stronger, interconnected overview of the entire system, it becomes impossible to ignore how the burden of flexibility is being distributed.
Because it's right there on the screen.
Exactly. A manager can clearly see the data and realize, wow, I have moved our night shift palliative nurse 4 times this month to cover gaps, and I haven't asked anyone else to float once.
You can't pretend it's not happening.
No, you cannot hide behind a messy, fragmented spreadsheet anymore. With the right structural blueprint in place, the shared pool is coordinated without losing control. You protect the patients receiving care, and crucially, you protect the humans providing it.
It protects the humans inside the system.
Mm.
That is so powerful. Yeah. All right, let's bring this all together. We have gone on quite a journey today.
We really have.
We started with the appealing but dangerous paradox of the shared staff pool. Joint bank account where everyone is spending but no one is tracking.
Such a good analogy.
Thanks. Then we explored the massive combinatorics that cause flat, two-dimensional spreadsheets to completely collapse under the weight of interacting variables.
Yep.
We uncovered the paradigm shift of coverage-based planning, drawing the architectural blueprint before assigning a single worker. We looked at how relational database software turns that blueprint into a living, breathing ecosystem. And finally, we saw how ultimate visibility and scheduling is fundamentally tied to fairness, empathy, and morale, especially in the emotionally charged environment of a hospice.
It is a brilliant illustration of how the structural tools we choose to employ quietly dictate the reality of the people relying on them.
Absolutely. And to you listening right now, I want you to think about how this dynamic applies to the complex systems you might be managing in your own life or career.
Yeah, think about it.
It might not be a multi-unit hospice rota. It might be global project management or coordinating a massive volunteer network or even just navigating a wildly complicated family calendar. This deep dive is a reminder that behind every logistical headache, behind every supposedly simple cell on a spreadsheet, is usually a human being seeking clarity, stability, and fairness.
This raises an important question, something I think is worth considering long after we sign off today.
What's that?
If a purely operational tool like a spreadsheet can quietly create a profound fairness issue in a sensitive environment like a hospice, what hidden systemic imbalances might be lurking in the simple systems and schedules you rely on every day without questioning?
Wow, yeah, that is exactly it. We all want a clean, simple, binary picture of a complex reality. But maybe the goal isn't just to force human complexity into a rigid box. Maybe the goal is to build a system powerful enough to help you understand the whole health of the ecosystem so you don't keep causing fractures in the first place. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today, for bringing your curiosity, and as always, keep unpacking the world around you.